Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Also, too, Israel has retaliated. There's a big strike that happened. They targeted a Hezbollah commander. Thank you. And we'll cover all that for you, too. That just happened a few moments before I got on the air today. So, got a lot to chat about. But I tell you, you know, Gavin Newsom is a tyrant. He doesn't like anybody having fun. There's a thing in America called satire, where you mock politicians and you lampoon them. And it's as old as literally prior to the founding of the Republic. We used to do this to each other all the time. Our founders would do this to each other constantly. Magazines would lampoon them. And, you know, there's even like National Lampoon from National Lampoon's European Vacation and Vacation and Animal House and a lot of other movies, too. But the point is that satire has a big place in America, except if you are a tyrant named Gavin Newsom, in which case then there's no fun for you. You can't have any fun. He literally tweeted out a short time ago, or last night he tweeted this out, and I retweeted it and said, Gavin the tyrant. But he basically said this: manipulating a voice in an ad should be illegal. I'll be signing a bill in a matter of weeks to make sure it is. So Elon Musk retweeted an altered Kamala Harris campaign ad. Who, and in the ad, she exposes herself as an incompetent candidate. Now, the Supreme Court ruled a long time ago in a case involving Larry Flint from Hustler that satire is absolutely protected speech. In fact, there's a very important role for satire in our republic. We should be able to mock people in power. We should be able to do whatever we have to do in terms of bringing them off their pedestal, quite frankly. Because in this country, nobody should be on a pedestal. So that means that if we use humor to bring them off the pedestal, that's a good thing. Now, it's done to Donald Trump all the time. I mean, they mock the guy constantly. Even people that do, you know, impressions of Trump that are favorable will even make jokes about him that are, you know, harmless jokes, like being orange and stuff. I mean, Sean Farage does it. It's great. It's funny. But people have a sense of humor and they can lighten up and they don't start demanding legislation and judicial actions and banning things and crackdowns on freedom of speech. The standard when you're dealing with these cases is the satire so over the top that nobody could think it's serious? That's the standard. Is it so over the top that a reasonable person could think, clearly, that's not real? In the case of Jerry Falwell, was that he was having, I don't know, sex with his cousin or his sister or something like that in the magazine at the time, Hustler magazine. And that was what the court said in a unanimous opinion. Like, nobody really believes that Larry Flint was doing this. So then, therefore, it's obviously over-the-top satire and it's protected speech. And there's a big place in our society for this. But with the advent of new technology, you're going to have more and more where people take voices and they manipulate them. Now, again, if it's somebody putting out a voice that is, say, a high-ranking public official telling people to flee for safety for their lives and then causing the public to be in danger, and that's not cool. That doesn't pass the satire test. Like, in other words, if you were to create an altered, I mean, Joe Biden is artificial intelligence, obviously, but, you know, let's say he wasn't. Let's say he was a real, living, breathing president, and not the animatronic Joe Biden from Disney's Hall of Presidents. And you were to create a video where he says, there's an imminent nuclear strike, I need you and your family to take immediate shelter, and it was so real that that a reasonable person would believe that was real, you'd get in trouble for that. But that's not the same thing as Joe Biden lampooning himself because somebody made a video of him talking about pooping himself. Which, by the way, a reasonable person could believe that Joe Biden could and would, in fact, poop himself. But you get the point. That's the distinction right there. So this ad that Elon Musk retweeted yesterday, which caused Gavin Newsom to go into a tizzy, is actually quite funny. But it's just it's just amazing how guys like him, as new technology comes along, their first reaction, their gut reaction, and this is why these people are tyrants, their gut reaction is to turn around and to say, we need new laws. We need bans. We need more crackdowns on speech. We need to make sure that people can't have fun. Because God forbid, somebody may take it seriously. Somebody may not realize it's a joke, and they may turn around, and they may say, whoa, hey, listen, this thing is real. And if the person does believe it's real, well, then that person is probably not very bright. But I can't help that either. I can't help that. You know, if there's a fake documentary, like, remember the movie years and years and years ago called The Blair Witch Project? It wasn't very good. But the whole thing with that movie at the time was the marketing of that movie was unique because they made it seem like it was a real video camera that had been found in the woods. Now, it wasn't. It was a scripted movie, but that's how they marketed it. And they had a whole thing where, you know, they recovered this video camera. And then after that, a bunch of movies started doing that, the whole hidden video camera thing. And what do they find? And so you wind up watching what is somebody's home movie, but it's not. You're watching a real movie. But that's the thing. Now, it's a great gimmick. Should that be illegal? Because you're not putting a disclaimer saying that this is actually not a home movie. This is actually a real movie that we're just making you think is a movie. But of course not. And if somebody walks into a movie theater like that and watches what they think is a home movie camera and doesn't realize it's actually a very expensive Hollywood production and walks out of there going, man, I can't believe those kids all got killed by the Blair Witch. And you go, that was a fake, right? That movie was a, I mean, spoiler alert here, but it's like 40 years old, but that was a fake, right? And you go, it was? I'm suing. I didn't realize that. See, you can't legislate down to the dumbest person. That's not how we're supposed to do things in life. But either way, whether it's a mockumentary, as they're called, where people make those and they look like documentaries, or it's Orson Welles' freaking War of the Worlds, making people believe we're actually being attacked by aliens, there's a level of understanding that, hey, this is not real. And so the answer to that is either you like it or you don't like it. If you're dumb enough to believe it, you probably have bigger problems in life. Quite frankly, you do. You probably have bigger problems. And if you believe it, you fall for it. I don't really know if you should be driving a motor vehicle. That's my own personal opinion. I think that should be one of the tests. You go to get your license, you fill out a test, take the road test, and they put it on a commercial for you of some sort. They go, is this real? And if you think it is, they take away the keys. Right there on the spot, boom, you're done. You can't drive because I don't want you in traffic. That's my personal belief on this matter. So let me play for you the artificial intelligence parody, which has now led to the California governor introducing a bill to make this illegal next week. He literally said in response to this, I'll be signing a bill in a matter of weeks to make sure it's illegal. To which Elon Musk shot back and said, I checked with renowned world authority professor Sugandhi's nuts, and he said parody is legal in America. Now, how you pronounce the first name of Professor D's Nuts, Sugan, however, that's, you know, I'll leave that to you. I'm not good with pronunciation. But anyway, and he said parody is legal in America, and it is. It's protected speech. It is considered some of the highest speech, actually, because we parody our politicians. We lampoon and make fun of our politicians. Hell, Jon Stewart does it one day a week now. No, I mean, to his credit, he's so good at it that he only works on Mondays. It's remarkable. They brought him back for this election season and he works Mondays. And then the other days of the week, he doesn't work. But he's not trying to be anything other than a satirical comedian who makes fun of powerful people, typically people on the right. But he was going after Joe Biden hardcore in the last few weeks leading up to Biden's ultimate demise. I saw Shane Gillis in Philadelphia last night. I got to go with my buddy Rob Ortiz took me. We had a lot of fun. He was at Helium Comedy Club. Gillis is great. I mean, his impressions of Trump are fantastic. He makes a lot of jokes about our politicians. Like, this is a thing we do in America. We make fun of people. We make jokes, particularly about people in power. Now, there's also another distinction, which is that if you take a normal, ordinary person and you were to doctor a video of them, and put them in a situation that is embarrassing to them or something, well, yeah, you could get sued for that because the standard is, again, are they a public figure? That's also the standard that has been accepted in our political speech. That there's a difference between me and somebody who's not on the radio. You know, I'm considered a public person. So if somebody makes people do it all the time. They take my body and they put my face or they alter it. You know, Snow Bunny Gal does it constantly. I should sue her for it. She does it all the time. But I can't sue because I'm a public figure. So that's the difference. If you take some guy who's just working in an insurance office, minding his own business, and, you know, suddenly comes home, there's a fake video of him talking about whatever. But yeah, that guy probably has a lawsuit on his hands. So again, that's the other distinction. But we're not talking about that here. We're talking about Kamala Harris, who is now the presumptive Democrat nominee for president of the United States of America. If we can't make fun of her, well, then we might as well just give it up because we're not a free country. And the point of political humor, the point of satire, the point of all these things is to bring these people down from their exalted positions and to bring them down back to planet Earth, where they are among us commoners. And why do you think I do my bit about Phil Murphy, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable? And I have the horns, the trumpets, the whole thing. Because the guy is a jackass who takes himself way too seriously. And he needs to be brought down back to Earth. That's part of my job. Just like Josh Shapiro, who I'll be also making jokes about later today, because Josh Shapiro thinks that he is now God's greatest gift to politics as he runs out there with his phony Southern accent. These people need to be brought back down to Earth because there's too many people around them kissing their you-know-what day in and day out, buying them fancy steak dinners and expensive wine and calling them by their titles, governor, congressman, senator, oh, and acting like, you know, the Red Sea should part whenever they walk. They got enough ready. You're just a person. You're just a person. In our country, you're just a person. You're not a king. You're not royalty. And we don't bow down before you. And yeah, we use titles out of respect, but that's out of respect. It's not a requirement under our law. I don't have to call a senator, senator. I choose to most of the time out of respect. I don't have to. But, you know, in some countries, if you don't use proper titles of the exalted leaders and rulers, you could be killed, stoned to death, literally. I mean, it's no joke, folks. So this is clearly parody. And Gavin the Tyrant Newsom, who's also very bummed out that he's not going to be the Democrat nominee. So he's going extra tyrant. He's going maximum tyrant right now, wanting to ban this. So take a listen to this parody ad. It's obviously parody. Cut 24.
I, Kamala Harris, am your Democrat candidate for president because Joe Biden finally exposed his senility at the debate. Thanks, Joe. I was selected because I am the ultimate diversity hire. I'm both a woman and a person of color. So if you criticize anything I say, you're both sexist and racist. I may not know the first thing about running the country, but remember, that's a good thing if you're a deep state puppet. I had 4 years under the tutelage of the ultimate deep state puppet, a wonderful mentor, Joe Biden. Joe taught me rule number one, carefully hide your total incompetence. I take insignificant things and I discuss them as if they're significant. And I believe that exploring the significance of the insignificant is in itself significant.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time. Right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time, and there is such great significance to the passage of time.
Another trick is trying to sound black. I pretend to celebrate Kwanzaa, and in my speeches, I always do my best Barack Obama impression.
So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
And okay, look, maybe my work addressing the root causes of the border crisis were catastrophic, but my knowledge of international politics is truly shocking.
The United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. It is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
And just remember, when voting this November, it is important to see what can be unburdened by what has been. And by what has been, I mean Joe Biden. You think the country went to over the past 4 years? You ain't seen nothing yet.
It's funny. She's obviously being portrayed in this artificial intelligence parody as an idiot. She is. But it's mocking her. And now Gavin Newsom wants to ban that, to make that illegal in the state of California. Now, that would never survive Supreme Court scrutiny, nor should it. But the fact that guys like him immediately go there, like that's their gut instinct. Their gut instinct is we need more laws. We need more crackdowns on speech. We need more regulations on speech. We need more ways to silence you and more ways to make sure that you are not able to mock our exalted leaders. The fact that that's where they go. And how many times have there been parodies mocking Trump? All the time, constantly. And when Saturday Night Live is good, when, in other words, when they're not using Alec Baldwin to make fun of him, sometimes it's pretty funny. And there's some great comedians out there that do a very good job of mocking Trump. It's good. It's healthy for our society. It's actually very healthy for our society, first of all of us to be able to laugh, but secondly, for all of us to be able to mock those in power. People in power should be mocked. They should. I believe that with all of my soul and my being. And institutions should be mocked, too. Like I was mentioning to you that I saw the movie Deadpool, and it was very funny. I've loved all three of those movies. And in this one in particular, they really go after the woke mob. There's a lot of jokes in there about the woke mob, which I appreciate because I'm tired of the woke mob, and they pulled no punches mocking them, and it's a very politically incorrect movie. It's got a lot of R words, a lot of curse words, by the way. It's like Josh Shapiro wrote it. That's how many curse words are in there. But they also mock Hollywood for all their dumb multiverse timelines that they keep recycling over and over again. Blazing Saddles is a great example of this. I mean, Blazing Saddles had a lot of jokes in there, not only mocking the institutions of racism, but also mocking Hollywood for their, they were just pumping out Westerns, like five a day back then. And Mel Brooks mocked that. Just like how great satirists, whether you go back to Mark Twain or not, will take whatever the issues of the day are and also mock them. So it's not just politicians, but it's also people in power. It's also the institutions that we all take for granted, like mocking Big Pharma, mocking Fauci. And I don't mean the way that Saturday Night Live mocked Fauci by having Brad Pitt end his little montage or his little skit there by going, "Thank you, Dr. Fauci. Thank you for saving all of our lives." I got a story about Fauci today. Puppygate. Remember how he killed all those dogs? Yeah, we haven't forgotten about that. Well, there's new details about the dogs that he killed. All those beautiful little puppies. And again, he was trying to hide it all by using his private Gmail account to cover all that up. People in power need to be lampooned. But Newsom is a slime ball. He's a swarmy slime ball tyrant. Despot is what he is. And he's a guy, and much like Nina Jankowicz, the failed musical theater performer who, as I told you yesterday, a judge ruled, yeah, she was actually truly trying to censor people. Much like her, much like so many on the left with their hate speech codes and everything else they want to do. This is why I've told you before, be very careful about giving these people the ability to regulate TikTok and TikTok. Be very careful about giving these people the ability to regulate the internet, because if you do that, they're going to find ways to increase their power over speech. That's what they're going to do. Yes, it's true. The funniest part about the fake ad is the North Korean alliance line, and that wasn't even artificial intelligence. No, I mean, that's the thing. Kamala Harris said most of those things. That's what also makes it funny. She talked about having an alliance with North Korea. There's a whole thing. I think we played the actual raw video of that, didn't we, or do we have it? I think we had it the other day, and maybe I forgot to get to it. But
I'm actually pulling it up right now.
Yeah, I know we have it. She went on about the alliance with North Korea and did it for so long that people were thought, like, is she drunk? Like, what's happening here? What is this? How is she going on and saying all this? But that's in that video that Elon Musk tweeted out that Gavin Newsom wants to ban, because he doesn't like the fact that they're making jokes. They're making jokes about our exalted politicians. This is the big story of the day today, by the way, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VenariaDental.com. Two locations serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VenariaDental.com and get the smile that you deserve. Yeah, here's Kamala Harris talking about the alliance with North Korea. This is not edited. This is not parody. This is not artificial intelligence. This is nothing. I'm sure Gavin Newsom would like to ban it anyway, because in his mind, if it makes her look bad, that's probably worth banning. So that should be subject to a ban, I'm sure, in his warped, tyrannical mind. But this is what she actually said.
So the United States shares a very important relationship, which is an alliance with the Republic of North Korea. And it is an alliance that is strong and enduring.
See that? That's real. That actually happened. That's actually a real thing. And that was in that video. All right. We got a lot to chat about today. The Secret Service, acting director of the Secret Service got taken for a well-deserved trip down accountability lane today by some of the Republican senators. Very, very good stuff right there. And the question is J.D. Vance as bad as the media says he is? Are Republicans thinking about dumping him? Is this election already over, even though it's not even August? Has Kamala Harris basically already won? Man, everybody's got to relax. We'll be right back. Acting Secret Service Director Ronald Rowe was in front of the United States Senate today, along with FBI Deputy Director Paul Abate. They testified before a joint hearing of two committees on the investigation into the assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. Now, the first in his opening statement, he goes on to say that he cannot defend the Trump rally failures. Now, more and more stuff comes out about this. Apparently, the Secret Service could not fly a drone because there was some problems with the, I don't know, like the Wi-Fi or something. I mean, it's just, it's amateur hour across the board. Still makes me believe there's a whole lot more to the story than meets the eye. And we are just maybe barely getting to the surface of this until the establishment, swamp, deep state, national security, intelligence community people shut it down. And we are just told, you know, lone gunman up in the school book depository. But here's the acting Secret Service head and part of his opening statement today before the Senate. Cut number one.
One of my first actions as acting director was traveling to the Butler Farm Show site to better understand how our protection failed. I went to the roof of the AGR building where the assailant fired shots, and I laid in a prone position to evaluate his line of sight. What I saw made me ashamed. As a career law enforcement officer and a 25-year veteran with the Secret Service, I cannot defend why that roof was not better secured. To prevent similar lapses from occurring in the future, I directed our personnel to ensure every event site security plan is thoroughly vetted by multiple experienced supervisors before it is implemented. It is clear to me that other protective enhancements could have strengthened our security at the Butler event. As such, I have directed the expanded use of unmanned aerial systems at protective sites to help detect threats on roofs and other elevated threats. I've also directed resources to facilitate our protective site communications, particularly our communications with our state and local partners. In addition, I have instructed the asset request for Secret Service protective details to be approved expeditiously and have ordered the maximum use of requested personnel at protective sites.
All right, and all that is wonderful. Here's Josh Hawley, who was going back and forth with these guys today. This is a bit of a long cut, but I think it's worth hearing. I also want to mention too that it was Senator Chuck Grassley who revealed that the Secret Service's counter drone platform was not working on July 13th because of cellular bandwidth issues. Okay. It was not active when Crooks flew his drone over the rally grounds and wasn't active until 5:30 p.m. Now, you know, a buddy of mine from law enforcement made a very, very important point on this. That could entirely be possible. Most drones are not cellular. Higher end drones that fly many miles with higher class licensing for the pilot are cellular, but the normal ones are radio frequency controlled. But why the United States Secret Service Technical Services Unit doesn't have their own cellular satellite communications beyond him? Their own set aside. I mean, Elon Musk has his own thing that he put a, what's the name of that, Matt?
Starlink.
Starlink. Why don't you use Starlink for that? I mean, it just seems to me, again, that this is such amateur hour. It's absolutely unbelievable. A buddy of mine who's a local cop said that they had extra cellular mobile towers towed up into South Jersey just for the Pope's visit to Philadelphia years ago because they knew they were going to deal with extra civilian bandwidth for all the people that never showed up. Because, well, basically they scared everybody away from coming. And the tanks on the streets and Tumblewood floating by and people were like, I'm out. Pope's coming. I'm out. I'm gone. But they were prepared for that by having extra cellular towers and extra cellular capability. Why the Secret Service would not have their own is again, part of the systemic problems of this previous director. And they got a lot to answer for here. So let's start with Josh Hawley here, cut two.
American is dead, that other Americans were critically wounded. Isn't that enough mission failure for you to say that the person who decided that that building should not be in the security perimeter probably ought to be stepped down?
Senator, I think you're using the word decided, and I think we need to allow the investigation play out to include.
So who did make the decision then? If it wasn't the lead site agent, who made the decision not to put that in the security perimeter?
Senator, you're zeroing in on one particular agent. I want to find out exactly what was the entire decision process. So I think I want to be neutral and make sure that we get to the bottom of it and interview everybody in order to determine if there was more than one person who perhaps exercised bad judgment.
Well, sure. My question is, why don't you relieve everybody of duty who made bad judgment? So, yeah, you're right. I am zeroing in on somebody. I'm trying to find somebody who's accountable here. And so you're telling me that the person who made the decision not to include this in the perimeter has not been relieved of duty. What about the person who's in charge of the interoperability of radio frequencies between local law enforcement and Secret Service. Has that person been relieved of duty?
No, Senator, because interoperability is a challenge, is a greater challenge than just one person. On that day, we had a counterpart system. It failed.
As the person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump onto stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly what
more do you need to investigate
was?
To know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job. And I cannot,
a lot of people didn't do their
I cannot
jobs.
Put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean put your thumb
the
on
objective,
the scale?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep
over that for the last 17 days. Let's stop right there. First of all, look, I know a lot of this is theater. I get it. You know, the cameras are rolling and, you know, so I get all that. But there is a real deep rot within our intelligence community, within the federal law enforcement agencies. There's a real rot there. And this is where I think Hawley is trying to go. And I think that you have a bureaucrat there and the acting Secret Service director who's trying to defend his agency by pointing out, you know, like individual failures and being like, well, I got to wait till the report comes back on, you know, how Agent Bob didn't have line of sight. And this is the problem. It's bigger than just Agent Bob not having line of sight here. You know, this is bigger than just a Secret Service agent in Dallas who thinks he hears, you know, the backfiring of a motorcycle and doesn't hear a gun. I mean, it's bigger than that. It's the next level of that, which is why were all these conditions allowed to happen that led to the president being assassinated? In the case of 1963, or in the case of 2024, almost assassinated. You know, if you are somebody who still has a lot of questions regarding Dallas, for example, since he brings up the Texas school book depository, and I get it. I get it. So if you have questions around that, and you know the CIA has still not declassified everything, go to the great scene in the movie JFK, where you've got Donald Sutherland's character talking about all the black ops and special forces and everything. And he goes on. So great monologue. He gives great monologue. And again, I don't know how much of that is true and how much of that is just Hollywood. But his whole point about, you know, we never would have allowed that window to be open. We never would allow umbrellas to be used on a perfectly sunny day in Dallas. Like all these little things. And then we never would have allowed the car to go around that slow turn. If you haven't seen the movie, again, it's an old movie. Spoiler alert, Kennedy dies. Like JFK is shot and killed. I don't want to. Is that too soon, Matt? Should I have waited on that a little bit?
You know how I feel about your film spoilers. So, yeah. Keep it to yourself.
I'm not going to say what happens to JFK at the end. I'll leave it to you to go in there with eyes wide open.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sorry. I went way out of my skis there. Not everybody's seen JFK. Not everybody knows the ending. All right. But if you think about that, so there's a systemic question. There's a bigger issue of how all of that was allowed to occur. It's not simply a matter of the Secret Service agent that Clint Eastwood plays in The Line of Fire, who was on Kennedy's detail in 1963, who's now hunting down John Malkovich 30 years later. It's not as simple as what mistake he made. It's how were all of these things able to happen, to enable a guy on a roof to get a clear shot at the former and future president of the United States of America. Or in Oswald's case, how he was able to kill him. And was it just Oswald? And if it was just Oswald, how was that possible? And if it wasn't, well, then how was that possible? And all these other big questions that need answering. And it's not just as simple as saying, well, yeah, in hindsight, we should have had a guy stationed on the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository. Like, it's deeper than that. This is where I think Hawley's going with this. But, you know, it's TV and it's a lot of, you know, drama for the camera. I get all that. But let's continue with it.
Ben, just like
fire
you have
somebody to hold them tell you, accountable.
Senator, I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity and not rush to judgment and put people
unfairly persecuted.
We've got people
who are dead.
We have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rally goers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation, prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree. This was a failure, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something about it. Let me ask you something else. The Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No,
and,
sir.
And you, weren't, involved in any of that? You were never involved in the decision making.
No, sir, I was not.
Let me ask you just one or two other things here quickly. Well, whistleblowers tell me that, in fact, law enforcement were stationed to be on that roof and that law enforcement abandoned their post because it was too hot. Is that accurate?
Senator, I have heard that as well. They posted up inside. And I think moving forward, as I said earlier, we're going to ensure that state and local counter snipers are on roofs.
But do you know if someone was supposed to be on the roof? Do you know if someone was, in fact, that's what the whistleblower tells me, that may or may not be accurate. Do you know that to be the fact? Was somebody posted to the roof, local law enforcement or whomever?
I do not know that to be a fact.
Well, can I ask you why you don't know that?
Again, Senator, we are looking at this, and they should have been on that roof. And the fact that they were in the building is something that I'm still trying to understand.
I just want to express my frustration, Director, that 17 days or whatever it's been, that whistleblowers are telling us more than you are, and you don't know, you haven't ascertained if there was supposed to be law enforcement on the roof. That seems like a pretty basic fact. I'm also told that local law enforcement suppliers offered the Secret Service drones, and you declined them. Is that true?
So, Senator, I've been very transparent and forthcoming.
Has not been transparent and forthcoming, so please, but let's not go there.
I have been forthcoming, sir.
That remains to be seen. You've been on the job a few days. So far, you've fired nobody. Now, the drones.
Thank you,
were
sir.
Were you offered drones?
Senator Hawley.
So there was an offer to fly a drone on that day.
And why did you deny it?
I think the ability of local law enforcement to provide an asset, we probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered.
Probably. We probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered. probably. Yeah, you know, hindsight's 20/20, Senator. What can I tell you? Probably should have done that. Whew. Yeah, what can I say? You know, in hindsight, we probably should have brought more ketchup to this Secret Service barbecue. You know, because it turns out people like it on hamburgers and some people on hot dogs, although I myself can't understand why, Senator. And in hindsight, we probably should have gone to Costco, got a lot of it. Hindsight's 20/20. Am I right? Am I right? And so we're going to learn from this. And next year when we do the picnic, we're going to make sure we have adequate condiments. I don't want to have another situation we ran into this picnic where people were literally having to eat dry overcooked hamburgers. Not on my watch, sir. Not on my watch. This is it's comical how much has come out from citizen journalists on social media with their own phones showing things like it. You have to wonder if we had had cell phones in 1963, what other stuff people would have caught. Remember in that assassination of John F. Kennedy, they had one camera. This guy, Zapruder, that's where the Zapruder film comes from. He had his own camcorder, but he was the only guy that had it. And they obviously that video is all we got. We got that. So, you know, now they do all kinds of things to it. You know, they enhance images, they enhance angles, but that's literally all we have is just that. It's almost when you listen to these guys that they kind of wish that they had had no eyes out there whatsoever, because you have all these pain in the neck citizen journalists running around with their cameras and phones going, I think there's a guy on the roof. Look, I think there's a guy walking over there. And then you start adding up timelines based on citizen journalists. These are people who didn't intend to be a journalist. They just were out there that day filming this, and they encounter this stuff, and they turn around and go, look what I just found. And it makes you wonder, you know, if in Dallas, if people had had phones, what else they would have been able to find from people on the grassy knoll or whatnot. But the Saperda film is the definitive and the only video of the Kennedy assassination that we've got. Now we've got all of these people with various phones and various angles. And it's almost as if the Secret Service director is trying to deal with that fact by going, yeah, I mean, what can I tell you? I'm just as shocked as you are to find out guy was on the roof. Am I right? And if it had not been for somebody with a phone, would they have even been able to find the guy on the roof? Because this is where we get into this question between what local law enforcement was telling the Secret Service, and the Secret Service almost at first trying to deny that that was happening and to throw local law enforcement under the bus. And then they have, luckily, the radio transmissions going, no, 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 we made it very clear there was a guy on the roof. So, all right, we got a lot more of this. Senator Roger Marshall, who actually is going to be on the show today at 5:35. I'm super excited to talk to him about all this, as you can imagine. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you want to weigh in. Listen, you know, one of my happy places, truly one of the happiest places I know, is Cape May, New Jersey, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. We all love summer, and fall, I got to tell you, is a beautiful time to be there. We're going to be back for our next live show on Friday, September 6th. Cape May is gorgeous, and they have their September to Remember package going on, where they offer special midweek packages so you can enjoy the beach without breaking the bank. Stay two nights, save 10%. Stay three nights, get 10% off, and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, you're going to get 10% off and $65 a night in resort credits that you can use at Hemingway's restaurant for great food and drinks, the gift shop, and so much more. In fact, the Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with kitchenettes, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor, one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand is my happy place, and you will not be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates. Book your stay today. Call 800-257-8550, 800-257-8550, or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com, grandhotelcapemay.com. It's a great place to be. It's absolutely beautiful. And fall in Cape May, the crowds are gone. Restaurant reservations are so easy to get. The food is wonderful, and the Grand Hotel is absolutely beautiful. And these are great rates. So put Friday, September 6th on your calendar. Mark it down. I'll see you at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, grandhotelcapemay.com. No, look, you know, the bureaucracy, time is on their side. It really is. I mean, time is on their side. That's why they want to slow the investigation down as much as possible. I mean, the whole reason for the Warren Commission, which was actually, as you know, the Dershes put it, it was the Dulles Commission, the CIA director, Alan Dulles. It was his handpicked commission. It was to slow walk the investigation to the assassination of John F. Kennedy so that eventually anybody involved or any evidence would just go away. That's what the bureaucracy likes to do. And to Hawley's point, he's like, listen, it's been 17 days here, and we've had more. We have more information about what took place on that day, thanks to people with cell phones, than we do the actual United States Secret Service and the FBI. I mean, just think about that for a minute. See, I don't trust these people. I do not trust them at all. I don't. And I think you'd have to be insane at this point in American history, right now at this moment, to trust the intelligence community with anything. After their years and years of lying and spying and trying to weaponize their powers and everything else that these people do, I think you'd have to be insane to trust them. I'm not saying they're not good, hardworking, loyal, very brave agents who put their lives on the line. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about their superiors. I'm talking about the people in charge. I'm talking about the people in Washington, the bureaucrats who you shine a flashlight and they all scurry like roaches. Those are the people I'm talking about. And there needs to be accountability here. And we'll talk to Senator Roger Marshall about this a little bit later in the show today. I also have to let you know, as we continue, you know, the poll numbers, everybody's freaking out about Kamala Harris. Calm down. I'm telling you right now, please take a deep breath. Please, I beg of you, take a gigantic deep breath. Of course, Kamala Harris is going to get a bump in the polls. Carville was on, I'm not on the show yesterday, but played the clip of him saying, don't get ahead of your skis here. You got a long way to go. And this bounce, this little bump is not going to last. But I'll tell you what Nate Silver's saying about this race. And I think it will at least talk you off the ledge, if nothing else. All right? Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away. No, look, you know, the bureaucracy, time is on their side. It really is. I mean, time is on their side. That's why they want to slow the investigation down as much as possible. I mean, the whole reason for the Warren Commission, which was actually, as you know, the Dersh has put it, it was the Dulles Commission, the CIA director, Alan Dulles. It was his handpicked commission. It was to slow walk the investigation into the assassination of John F. Kennedy so that eventually anybody involved or any evidence would just go away. That's what the bureaucracy likes to do. And to Hawley's point, he's like, listen, it's been 17 days here and we've had more. We have more information about what took place on that day, thanks to people with cell phones, than we do the actual United States Secret Service and the FBI. I mean, just think about that for a minute. See, I don't trust these people. I do not trust them at all. I don't. And I think you'd have to be insane at this point in American history, right now at this moment, to trust the intelligence community with anything. After their years and years of lying and spying and trying to weaponize their powers and everything else that these people do, I think you'd have to be insane to trust them. I'm not saying they're not good, hardworking, loyal, very brave agents who put their lives on the line. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about their superiors. I'm talking about the people in charge. I'm talking about the people in Washington, the bureaucrats. You shine a flashlight and they all scurry like roaches. Those are the people I'm talking about. And there needs to be accountability here. And we'll talk to Senator Roger Marshall about this a little bit later in the show today. I also have to let you know, as we continue, you know, the poll numbers, everybody's freaking out about Kamala Harris. Calm down. I'm telling you right now, please take a deep breath. Please. I beg of you. Take a gigantic deep breath. Of course, Kamala Harris is going to get a bump in the polls. Carville was on, I'm not on the show yesterday, but played the clip of him saying, don't get ahead of your skis here. You got a long way to go. And this bounce, this little bump is not going to last. But I'll tell you what Nate Silver's saying about this race. And I think it will at least talk you off the ledge, if nothing else. All right? Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.